Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing to teach on a better way to pray, and we're nearing the end of this series. Friday is going to be my last day to offer you this book. I also have it in Spanish. We have a study guide, and then we have CDs and DVDs. And I tell you, this teaching on prayer has been powerful. I know that some people are bothered by the fact that I think my own teaching is powerful, but if I don't enjoy it, I don't know why you ought to enjoy it. I'm telling you, this stuff has changed my life. I'm excited about it. And I have seen a tremendous change in the results that I get. You know, I've been praying ever since I was a little kid, and since I got born again, I have prayed and I've fellowshiped with the Lord, but I asked for a lot of things and saw very little results. I prayed for my dad to be healed. I prayed for my grandmother to be healed. I prayed for a girl to be healed that I was with. All three of them died. I didn't see results. I prayed for all kinds of things, and I prayed all the time, but I just saw very little results. Now I see much better results. I still don't see 100%, and it's not because God doesn't give. Some of it's just because it's in process, and it takes a while for things to come to pass. But I'm still learning and growing, and I hadn't got it all totally figured out. That's the reason I entitled this A Better Way to Pray, not the only way to pray, or you're of the devil if you don't pray this way. Man, this is just talking about that there's a better way, and I am seeing better results. If your prayer life isn't working, if you feel frustrated and feel like God's not answering, maybe you ought to entertain that there is a better way to pray. And yet I find people that just are so resistant. They don't want to change anything. They want different results, but they don't want to change anything that they're doing or believing, and that's not the way that it works. So I've been teaching specifically about how that when you ask, God always gives, but you may not see the answer. Not because God didn't give, but because there's things that have to happen. For one thing, you have to continue to believe and stand over a period of time. And if you waver, I used those verses on a program yesterday, that you don't receive anything of the Lord. You got to believe and not doubt in your heart. Also, you can be believing, and yet there could be a demonic opposition against what you're doing. And that's what I've been talking about out of Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. In the 9th chapter of Daniel, Daniel prayed a prayer, and while he was still speaking, about 3 minutes into his prayer, the angel Gabriel showed up and answered his prayer. In the 10th chapter, this same man, Daniel, prayed another prayer. This time it was 3 weeks. And when the messenger showed up, he revealed that there was a demonic opposition called the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. Let me read some of this. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. This is what this messenger said unto Daniel. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, this is talking about the archangel Michael, being one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And anyway, goes on, and he talks and gives him the revelation. But there was this battle going on in the spiritual world, and God answered both prayers. Notice it says, from the first day that you set your heart. So in the 9th chapter, God answered immediately. In the 10th chapter, God answered immediately. But as far as we can see from our perspective, since we can't see into the spiritual realm from the way we look at things, it looked like God answered one prayer in 3 minutes and the next prayer in 3 weeks. But He didn't. He answered both instantly. And I'm telling you, this is just a key to unlocking the power of prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall, future tense, have them. In other words, you have to believe it's done immediately, but then there is a future fulfillment. And if you don't understand that, if you just believe that you receive and it has to be fulfilled that moment, Well, then, as the prayer is in the process, as the messenger is coming and bringing you your answer, you are going to falter. You're going to waver in your faith. And according to James chapter 1, you aren't going to receive anything because you were double-minded and you wavered. You've got to believe that you receive right now, and then there shall be a future manifestation. Now, the future manifestation might only be 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be 3 years or 3 weeks or three anything. It could be relatively quick, but sometimes, because none of us are perfect, none of us have got it all figured out, none of us know everything that there is to know, you are going to sometime or another run up against something that you've prayed and done everything you know to do, and you are not seeing a manifestation. And in that situation, if you don't understand what I'm describing right here, you will just look and say, well, obviously, God hadn't moved. God hadn't answered my prayer. That's a wrong assumption because you can't perceive in the spiritual realm. God is a spirit, John 4:24, and God is moving in the spiritual realm. And you have to take the Word of God, which Jesus said in John 6:63, that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is our view. It's our window to look into the spiritual realm. And you can't see with your physical eyes what's happening, but through the Word you can see what's happening. And you can take this exact example right here and say that in the same way that God answered Daniel's prayers instantly, but one manifested quickly and the other one, it was 3 weeks, likewise, God has answered my prayer. You can't see that with your physical eye. Yesterday, I was using that example about, you know, when you download something off of the internet, it doesn't just immediately work. You have this little bar that shows that it's in process. It's downloading. You can't see that in the spiritual realm. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if you had some gauge that just showed you you're 50% through? But you can look through the Word of God and you can see this same thing. You may not be able to see with your physical eyes, but you can see through the Word of God that God answered. When I asked, I received. When I sought, I found. When I knocked, it was open unto me. You can believe that. And you've got to be able to do that and stand and get to where you believe things are going on in the spiritual world that you can't see. If you're praying for a physical healing, you've got to believe that something is happening in your body, even if you can't feel it, even if you can't see it. You've got to believe that the Word of God is working. And I know that some of you, this is very hard to do because you just say, how can I believe that something is real that I can't see? You know, there's all kinds of things that you believe in that you can't see. You can't see television, radio signals, and yet you believe they're there. You can't see microscopic things. Now, I guess you could take a magnifying glass or a microscope and magnify it enough, but you with your physical eyes can't see it, and yet you believe that there's germs. You believe that there's things. You wash your hands. You do things. You believe things exist that you can't see. And yet, when it comes to the spirit realm, well, how can I believe it if I can't see it? You know what? You believe you got a mind, and yet have you ever seen your mind? You believe you got a heart. Have you ever seen your heart? You believe you got a stomach. You know what? You believe in things that you can't see. And yet, when it comes to believing God, we just all of a sudden, how can I believe if I can't see it? You look through the Word of God, and I'm telling you what's going on behind the scenes. And many times, it's not your lack of faith or something like that. See, now this is one criticism I have against people who try and really teach about believing God and faith people, and I am a faith person. I'm not against them, but I think that we often make the mistake of just making things too simplistic. And we say that if you pray for something and if you don't see it manifest, well, then you just didn't believe. And that's the only answer that we give. Here is an instance where Daniel prayed and he was in faith. It was not his fault. Daniel didn't somehow or another do something to make himself less qualified and therefore less able to receive his prayer in the 10th chapter than in the 9th chapter. Daniel, if anything, was stronger in the 10th chapter. There was nothing wrong with Daniel's faith. There was just a demonic opposition. And so it's too simplistic when we say that if you prayed and if you didn't see something come to pass, it's just because you aren't believing God. And there's people that will take offense over that because they know in their heart they're believing God. They're totally shocked. They can't believe that they haven't seen it yet because there is faith present. You know, in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, you can see the same thing with Jesus' disciples. They tried to cast a demon out of a boy, and yet they didn't see the manifestation, and they were perplexed. Why? Because they quit believing that God healed? No, they believed. That's the reason they were perplexed, and that's the reason they asked the question. And Jesus didn't tell them it's because you aren't believing. He says it's because of your unbelief. Some people think, well, that's the same thing. No, it's not. Anyway, I'm not going to teach on that. But I'm saying that it's too simplistic just to tell a person that it's because you weren't in faith. Daniel was in faith, and yet his prayer was prolonged, and he did not see a quick manifestation, not because of his failure, but because of the devil fighting against him. You know, I ministered on this nearly 30 years ago, and there was a friend of mine named Bob in Woodland Park, Colorado. He was at a meeting where I was teaching on this, and Bob had been trying to sell his house for 2 years. He put a for sale sign in the yard, for sale by owner. He didn't want to pay commissions to a real estate person, so he just tried to sell the house on his own. And he put that sign in the yard, and for 2 years he prayed about that every day, asked God to sell his house, to send a buyer, to do all of this. And the guy was just totally frustrated. He had already gotten another house, and so he was making double payments. He was in a financial bind. He really needed this house to sell, and he just couldn't understand why God hadn't answered his prayer. As he heard me teach on this, here is the application that the Holy Spirit made to Bob and about his situation. The Lord told him and says, Bob, you have doubted that I answered your prayer. And so every day you get up and pray it again like nothing happened yesterday. God, you didn't answer my prayer again today. And by doing that, he was actually voiding his previous prayers because he didn't believe that he received when he prayed. He wasn't believing that God had done anything until he could see something. So he was actually praying in unbelief. He was voiding his previous prayers by doubting that God had done it. And the Lord showed him this. And so the very first thing that Bob did, he repented. And he said, Father, I'm sorry. He says, I didn't understand this. I believe that the very first time I prayed, you spoke to someone. And he says, I don't know where the hindrance is, but he heard me teach on this, and he really felt a witness in his heart that it wasn't him that was not believing. It was Satan fighting him through something else. He believed it was a demonic opposition against him that was just trying to hinder his finances. So what Bob did, since he didn't know where the problem was and exactly how it was happening, he just decided to start praying in tongues. So Bob started praying in tongues. It says that you build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. You don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession through us, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. So he just started praying in tongues and prayed that he would interpret. And God started praying against however it was that Satan was hindering his answer to prayer and getting his house sold. And in 2 days' time, he had a man come to him that had the cash money in hand to buy his house. So they went down and they did a closing on the house. And as they were sitting at the closing, waiting for all these papers and all of the stuff that they do, this man looked at Bob and he said, did you know that the very first day you put that for sale sign in your yard, I told my wife, that's our house. And he says, I knew that we were going to have this house. And as far as I know, this man wasn't a believer. He wasn't saying these things, you know, based on like a teaching that I'm doing here. He was just saying this, but it confirmed perfectly what I'm teaching. And he says, it's been supernatural, the hindrances that have come against me. He says, there was a guy lined up to buy my house, which I had to sell my house before I could buy your house. And he said, the guy who was going to buy my house, his house didn't sell. And he says, there's just but one thing. It has been supernatural, the hindrances that have come against. He might not have said it in his words, but what he was saying is that Satan was withstanding Bob's answer to prayer. And he says, the strangest thing happened. Over 2 years, we've just seen problem after problem after problem. But he says, 2 days ago, this man walked up to me and he had sold his house. He had cash. We closed on the house, and he says, here I am 2 days later with cash closing on your house. And did you know all of it happened when Bob quit asking God over and over and over and over again to sell his house, and instead he started believing that God had already spoken to somebody, that the thing was in process, and he just took his authority as a believer, started speaking in tongues, resisting the devil. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he started resisting the devil, and when he did that, in less than 2 days' time, he had his cash in hand. All of these other things were worked out, and he saw his answer to prayer. And the man told him, the very first day you put that sign in the yard. You know, that's exactly like what these angels told Daniel. Daniel, from the first day, from the beginning of your supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come. But Satan hindered. Satan fought against this prayer. I'm telling you, this is really powerful. And this has become just a foundation of my faith in the Lord, that I know when I pray something according to the Word of God, that God has heard and answered my prayer. I believe I've got it the moment I pray. But it might take me a while to see it manifest, maybe because I'm wavering and I've got to get my heart established. Maybe it's because people are involved in something and God isn't going to personally buy your house or give you money. He's going to inspire people. Or sometimes it is just totally a demonic opposition and you have to stand up and fight against it. There could be multiple things. But I'm telling you, this has changed my life. Now when I pray, this is the reason that when I pray, I always quote the Word, because I want to make sure that what I'm asking for is something that is promised me in the Word. And I will go and quote a scripture. I'll quote something that is promised me, like, you know, if it's healing or something. Father, your Word says, by your stripes I was healed. If it's prosperity, that you wish above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that Jesus became poor so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I will tie what I'm praying to a scripture to know that I'm praying appropriately. I'm asking for the right thing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So I always make sure that I pray something that is based on a promise in God's Word, and then when I do that, I believe God answers my prayer immediately. I believe that God releases His power. But I'm also aware that there is a process from when God moves to when I see the physical manifestation. Like in the 9th chapter of Daniel, it was only 3 minutes because I believe that there was zero opposition, but it still shows a process. In the 10th chapter, it was 3 weeks because there was demonic opposition. But Daniel just stood his ground and he kept standing and believing God's Word, and because of that, he saw the manifestation. And I tell you, this has become foundational in my life, and I'm encouraging you that whether you can see it or not, if you are absolutely certain that what you are praying and believing for is God's will, if you have a scripture that you can tie that to and make sure that you aren't praying amiss just so that you can, you know, do something for your own vanity and consume it on your own lust. If you know you're praying according to God's Word, then you need to know that, God, you answered my prayer. And if you've wavered on this, and if you pray for it one day and then the next day you get up, well, you didn't answer it yesterday. Maybe you'll answer this prayer today. Well, then one of the first things you need to do is repent of your unbelief and repent of thinking that just because you can't see something, it means that it doesn't exist. Boy, that's short-sighted. There is a whole spiritual world. God is a spirit. There are angels. There are demons. There are all kinds of things going on that you can't see and perceive. If you think that just because you can't see something or feel it or touch it or hear it or taste it, that it doesn't exist, that just means that you aren't very smart. Forgive me for being blunt, but I'm telling you that there is more to it than what you can perceive with your little peanut-sized brain. You got to believe what the Word says, that God is moving. And then, once you know that, you don't ask this same prayer over, but instead you begin to praise God. Father, thank you that the first day I prayed, the first moment I prayed, you've answered my prayer. Now, is there a demonic opposition? Is it somebody else that's involved in my prayer? Is there something I am doing wrong or not doing? Am I not ready for the answer to this prayer? There could be all these different things, but instead of doubting God, you begin to say, Father, show me what needs to change. Show me where the hindrance to this is. I know that you've already commanded. Now, whatever it is that is hindering the manifestation of my prayer, show me. And I tell you, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which includes speaking in tongues, it's not limited to that, but it includes it. Man, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is sent to show you all things and lead you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever Jesus has spoken unto you. John chapter 14, verse 26 says that. The Holy Spirit is how God communicates with us. And this ability to pray in tongues is just vital. Man, I pray in tongues so much. I mean, I spend a lot of time praying in tongues, and especially when I am looking for something and I know God has given, and there should be no reason that I'm not seeing my answer, and yet I don't see it, I will pray in tongues a lot, and I will ask God for an interpretation and to show me. And God supernaturally shows me what the problem is. And I mean, I have had this happen to me hundreds and hundreds of times. If you don't have this baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, you need that. I can tell you, this is huge. I'm teaching on prayer right now, but actually, speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit, is a vital part of prayer. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." That's talking about speaking in tongues. If you don't have this ability to speak in tongues, you need it. You know, I've got this little book that's entitled The New You / Holy Spirit. And the first part is about how to be born again, what that is. The second part is about how to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which includes speaking in tongues, how you can interpret what you're saying and get supernatural revelation. And I'll give this book to you if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and don't speak in tongues. Also, as you call in and request this, if you would ask our prayer ministers to pray with you, they can pray with you, and each one of them have received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you could receive it right there praying with them over the phone. We've had thousands and thousands of people do that. So I have this special book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's entitled The New You / Holy Spirit. You can request that as my gift to you. You can pray with someone. And also, I'd like to encourage you to please request these materials on prayer, because Friday is going to be my last day to offer you this book, study guide, CDs, and DVDs. And so we're drawing to a close on this. And I've got more to share. I'm going to be teaching on this again on our program tomorrow. But I encourage you to please get these materials. And especially, I'd like to encourage you, if you do not speak in tongues, to please call in. They can give you material. They can answer your questions. They can pray with you. And you could receive this supernatural ability to communicate with God without your brain. You pray straight from your heart with no unbelief, no hindrance, and you get supernatural results. Man, that's awesome. Listen to our announcer, and then please call or write today.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled The New You and the Holy Spirit. If you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Andrew would like to offer the book to you free. This offer is limited to one per household while supplies last. Andrew's complete teaching series titled A Better Way to Pray is available on a live teaching 5-CD set or on a 5-DVD set as seen on TV. You can also get this teaching in book form in either English or Spanish. Now, for the first time, Andrew is excited to introduce a companion study guide that will deepen your personal understanding of this teaching. The study guide is also perfect for home groups and Sunday schools. You'll be able to print off the outlines and scriptures from this entire teaching from the PDF files on the data CD. These valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is titled, Prayer is a Process. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. To order this teaching or any other of Andrew's ministry materials, you can visit the AWMI website 24/7, write to us at the address on your screen, or call our helpline at 719-635-1111 Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be in Washington, D.C. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Plymouth and Telford, England, Woosh, Poland, and in Rome, Italy. And in June, he'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Business Conference. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Ypsilanti, Michigan, Toronto, Ontario, and then again in Woodland Park for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. Meet Tracy Elliott Reed. Born among the wild ponies of Dartmoor, England, as a young girl, she dreamed of cowboys and Indians.
That was a dream God put in me because decades later, I rode across America and met cowboys and Indians.
Encouraged by Andrew Womack's teaching on grace and faith, she embarked on horseback adventures, riding the length of New Zealand through Southern Europe, and more recently, riding alone through the American West from Mexico to Canada.
Life is an adventure. It should be an adventure with God when we know, when we believe that God is for us.
She's published her journeys of faith in high-quality coffee table books filled with scripture and inspiration. To enjoy Tracy's life of adventure, go to TracyElliottReap.com. Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years.
We invite you to join Andrew on April 23rd through the 25th in Washington, D.C. for our Gospel Truth Seminar.
From beginning to end of every one of these sessions, I just walk out feeling excited and invigorated.
The things that you put into the gospel never leave your life. It just enters into your future where it grows and it multiplies.
It was amazing. Everything, every word I just hung on to.
As far as experience with the Gospel Truth Seminar, it's just been absolutely amazing.
Don't miss this opportunity to let God's unconditional love and grace transform your life. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.